What did it just say?
It said it may be distributed.
So you can say what you want or keep it cool.
Yeah.
I think what it means is, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not worried about
not
it.
Not either.
Care.
I guess have they started recording yet?
I guess so. I thought we would get some sort of notice, but I guess not. It just said
that might have been it.
Huh?
That
yeah.
might have been it.
Yeah, I imagine so.
Anyway,
it just said hang up if you don't want to
right.
participate.
So what did you do last night?
Well, let's see. I went to this country western bar. This gay country western bar and tea stopped and had a good time, but I met someone and ended up kissing on him in this bar, which I just hate, you know. And then we went to another, I met him at another bar, and then, because he was with some friends and they were going to this other bar, and so I went over there and we sort of disco danced, you know, or whatever you want to call it.
Is that all near Ponce de Leon?
No, actually, it's out Cheshire Bridge.
Oh, yeah, right.
And notice how he says the word Cheshire Bridge.
What do you mean?
I'm just making fun of this recording.
On the radio yesterday, there's a show from Boston called Car Talk.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They were making fun of some woman from Birmingham,
Alabama. Right. Well, anyway, I ended up bringing this guy back to my place, and he's already left. He left at 8:30 this morning because he gets up and goes to church.
Oh, really?
He's a member of MCC. And apparently into it. Nice guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, seems like a real sweet guy, but. Yeah, you know, it's like, why did I do that?
Well,
I guess because I'm lonely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the reason.
Mm-hmm.
God, I'm lonely too. That's one reason I really like enjoyed your letter, because you said I need to make more friends. It's so fucking true.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. It's been so long since I wrote that letter. Oh, God.
But I remember that because I haven't paid enough attention to that. It's so hard to do. It's so hard to meet people. You know, one thing we did do, this guy, I have a little men's group,
mm-hmm.
and he and his partner had a commitment ceremony at the Unitarian Church.
Oh, cool.
And it was neat. And had an Episcopal priest that I also know. He's also in the group.
Mm-hmm.
But he did it. And then they had a party afterwards and everything. This guy, his name's Scott, he works at the University of Pennsylvania, and he is the head of the Greek system.
Should you be saying this?
Uh-huh. He's the head. Oh, he knows. Everybody knows.
Okay.
I mean, he doesn't announce it, but...
Right.
He's the head of the Greek, what do you call it? Whatever the official school office of Greek affairs.
Okay.
And so, I don't know, it's wild. He says the person who had it before him was a lesbian.
Well.
I was going to ask you if you knew the name of that guy. His first name was Rob, and he had kind of long red hair, and he came to this GSU Gay Student Alliance meetings.
Rob. He had long hair.
Kind of long, dark red hair.
Dark red.
Tall and thin.
Rob. I don't remember a Rob.
I guess he was mostly my friend. I think he only came to a couple of things, but we used to go out together occasionally.
He was a student at Georgia State.
Yeah.
And what was his major? What?
I don't even remember. I just think he had a pickup truck, and a couple of times we went out.
That doesn't ring a bell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You still have any of those rosters or anything from that group?
Yeah, I still have some of the stuff.
Wow.
Yeah.
I have to look that over when if I come down.
Yeah. Actually, I threw a lot of that away, but I'm sure I still have some stuff.
Yeah.
I just had to get rid of some of it. It's just like I had too much crap laying around.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. But I saw Joe. You remember Joe DeRose?
A little bit. I remember the name.
Yeah. Well, he seems to be hanging out at Hodown's, this place I was at last night.
Uh-huh.
No, he's kind of... Still kind of goofy, you know, nice guy. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So.
How about that guy Anthony?
Anthony, I used to run into him on rare occasions, but I haven't seen him in over a year.
Yeah.
So I don't know what's going on with him.
Right.
Yeah, he's kind of a strange guy.
Yeah.
So what else is going on with you?
Well, it's a weird turning point.
Mm-hmm.
It's a major turning point for me. God, I've been really depressed about it, but the weird thing is that sometimes it's when old things are dying and new things are not yet born.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of new things that are really kind of exciting. Like, I tell you, I'm working for this advertising agency.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they want to pay me $20 an hour.
Yeah.
And yet I have to give half of that to the agency.
Right.
But I never would have dreamed they would have offered that much for what I'm doing.
Well, and just giving half of it to the agency is just temporary.
Yeah.
Are you going to take it?
Oh, yeah.
Great.
At least for part-time. But...
You don't think you'd want to do it full-time?
Well, yeah, but I want to look if I can get that... I want to look around for other things.
Yeah.
If I find something that I both like better and maybe am better at, they might pay me as well or a little more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm interested in marketing, and that's what this ad stuff is anyway, basically. But I don't know. It's been kind of depressing in some ways. The city is so... Well, it's just good. It's so ugly and dirty.
Philadelphia.
Well, in a lot of ways, yeah, it is. But it's also neat to have the whole city right here.
Right.
I mean, this is a big city.
Yeah.
It's an old city with lots of businesses and, you know, a good subway system and all that kind of crap.
Yeah. I've only been there once. That was years ago. So.
Yeah. I was going to ask you about so many things.
Do you feel self-conscious with this thing recording?
A little bit. Last time I didn't.
I'm not even thinking about it.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. But I can tell you you're kind of...
Yeah. Well, I wasn't at first, and then you seemed like you might be.
Well, I was just kind of alarmed you were naming off this person at the University of Pennsylvania.
Oh.
And I'm like, oh, my God, should you...
Revelation.
Right, right.
I'm reading this book on Carl Jung.
Mm-hmm.
Still into all that.
Mm-hmm. It's good.
And I'll tell you, I often think about this. I told you about this before, but this whole... I haven't figured out my... I mean, who has, but I certainly haven't figured out what's happened to me psychologically in my life. I mean,
mm-hmm.
there's still a lot of big questions.
Right.
You know, I mean, I just realized that more and more. Writing these essays about my life has really just, I don't know, it's clarified some things. You know, God, just growing up,
mm-hmm.
not really. You know, like when I was in high school, I never had a party.
Mm-hmm.
Or people over to my house, really, just a few times. I was so, you know, self-conscious about not having parents.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want anybody, you know, I used to fantasize about, like, what if I had a party? Would people come? And if they did, you know, I mean, I can't imagine people coming into my house and the first thing they're starting to say is, well, like, where are your parents?
Right.
At this
right.
party, I'd be nervous anyway. And then they bombarded with these questions.
What did you say when people asked you that?
I just avoided the subject. Or I'd say something like, I would just change the subject or make a vague answer. You know?
You wouldn't say they're passed away or...
Uh-uh.
Huh.
If they asked me, like, I remember sometimes in French class, they would have a little exercise, go around the room, and they would ask you a question, and you'd answer one by one. So they'd say, what does your father do for a living?
Wow.
And I'd just freeze, and my heart would start pounding.
Wow. Yeah, because it's so important for kids to be like everyone else.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I would say, well, my grandfather was a salesman, so I'd just say that. But my heart would be just pounding, Charles.
Right. Right.
I'd be so scared. It was so weird. And it would happen so suddenly because I'd be feeling normal and relaxed.
Right,
you know,
right.
But generally, I just, in order to prevent people from getting to the point where they would ask those questions, I would just kind of not make very good friends, because the closer the friends, the more they'll start interacting with you and asking you about who you are.
Right. Right.
So I put myself in this isolation tank
yeah.
for years. It's just insane. So a lot of that's still, you know, the results of all that.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think a lot of gay guys do that anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
I met, right, when I was out last night, I ran into this guy who was a co-leader for a workshop that I attended. And it was about sex and intimacy for gay men. And it was put on by Aid Atlanta. And this guy, we got into this conversation, and he started telling me, it was a pretty intense conversation, he started telling me that he is not having safe sex. And we got into this conversation, and he knows my HIV status, and I told him, now I'm hesitating. And I told him, you know, I had talked about my HIV status in this workshop that he was co-leading. Anyway, we talked about that some, and I'm training to be a peer counselor for this organization called the AIDS Survival Project.
Right.
And anyway, we got in this conversation, and I was talking to him. It was almost like I was peer counseling him about, you know, I just attended an all-day thing yesterday, and we were kind of training for peer counseling, and one of the things that, you know, came up was when somebody calls and says, well, I don't want to have safe sex.
Huh.
And it was almost like I was living that right then, because I was talking to this person about this issue, and, you know, and he was saying that he, not all the time, but occasionally will have unsafe sex, and we talked about that, and, you know, we talked about the self-esteem issue and all this stuff, and, you know, and he talked a lot about his, you know, his parents were, you know, pretty, you know, he grew up here in Atlanta, and, you know.
What was his name?
His name is Brad. I don't know. Actually, I got his name and number because I'm going to give him a call and we're going to talk some more. I can't remember his last name. But he grew up in East Point. And he went to Woodward Academy.
I know that.
You know Woodward?
Yeah, okay. How old is it? How old is he? About 30s.
Yeah, he's probably in his early 30s, I would say.
I see.
Yeah. Yeah. A young chicken, John.
For me. Not for you.
Yeah. It was just pretty intense talking to him, and, you know.
Well,
just
having unsafe sex is an enormous indicator of things going wrong.
Oh, yeah. And I think that's what's going on for him. And, you know, you are safe and everything when you sex? Okay. Are you and Tony monogamous? Or?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. That's good. But y'all are safe with each other?
Pretty much.
Pretty much? Yeah. Y'all use condoms?
We do.
I'm asking you all that. I'm practicing my peer counseling.
Actually, we don't.
You don't? Okay. Okay.
But, you know, we've been tested so many times.
And y'all are completely monogamous.
Yeah.
You're sure that he is?
Well, he is, except that sometimes he'll, like, masturbate with guys.
Mm.
But, you know, he's, I don't know. And he always tells me about it.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. But, and it never goes any further? Or?
No. Mm-hmm. We're pretty close, you know. I mean,
that's good.
We talk about everything pretty well.
When he says that he's done this, does that bring up jealousy for you, or?
Not really.
No.
For some reason, I guess because I'm confident that, you know, none of these people are.
There's no emotional connection.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's more of a curiosity. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been so young. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But the see, I want to get into some psychological theories about what it means to be in the closet and grow up like that and what it does to you.
Yeah.
I really do.
Oh, I'm sure it has major ramifications.
Yeah, right. And I think that it's important to be conscious of those and then get back what you lost or try to. I don't know. I just think there's a lot of shadows that I carry around that we do all carry around, and we don't really know much about it.
Right, right.
I still have a lot. I have agoraphobia.
Mm.
I'll tell you, like, for example, you know, in a way, I love interacting with people and have done these conferences, but I'm always nervous in front of a group. But the strange thing is, if it's, I think I'm backwards from most people. I think most people, if they got up in front of a group, they might be much less nervous if all they had to do was, you know, say, explain something that was kind of mundane. Whereas if they had to go into some deep emotional, personal stuff and reveal themselves personally, they might be much more nervous. I'm just the opposite. If I'm spilling my guts, I feel safe. But if I just have to get up and teach something, I feel nervous.
Well,
maybe that's
normal.
I don't know, but
I don't know.
But I was going to take this. See, they have these jobs available if you want. You know, everyone around the university takes these courses, like, I mean, these tests, SAT tests, law school aptitude tests, whatever it is. And they teach these courses. They teach courses on how to take those tests.
Right.
And they'll pay you like $15 an hour. And I was going to go down, and the first thing they do is they audition you, and you can do a 10-minute presentation on anything you want. They're just testing your presentation skills.
Right.
And Charles, I just was so nervous about doing it.
Mm.
It's like I wanted to do it, but I just felt so nervous.
Yeah.
Especially in this time of my life when I'm just going through all this upheaval anyway.
Yeah.
I think some of it is like that fear of being revealed, which I had in high school. I was always nervous in high school. We would have to memorize these paragraphs and recite them in French, and it would take you, you know, 3 or 4 minutes. I was just so scared.
Well, what grade were you in?
Oh, you know, 10th, 11th,
okay.
9th, something like that. I'm just too nervous.
Yeah, yeah.
Were you like that? Were you nervous in front of people?
Oh, yeah, of course. I think everyone is.
I guess so.
Yeah. But, you know, in the 12-step meetings that I go to, you talk about people, or you say that you feel more comfortable if you're talking about emotional things. And in these meetings, I mean, people go into these meetings and talk about their most intimate things, you know,
right.
Struggles and emotions in front of a room full of, you know, virtual strangers.
Right.
You know. Now, people are certainly nervous about it, especially when they're first
right.
doing it and when they don't know anyone.
Right.
But as you get to know people, you become more comfortable. And
yeah.
As you, you know. But it's like an old hat to me. Just, you can go in there now and express my emotions and say, you know, something that I've done and, you know, that I don't feel good about. And, you know.
Right.
But I don't know.
I think part of my fear is that if I'm just doing something like teaching math,
mm-hmm.
that someone is going to, you know, I mean, this is just a fantasy, negative fantasy, that someone's going to, like, reveal me,
mm-hmm.
you know. And not that I would care, really,
right.
if anyone knew about my homosexuality or anything else.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a leftover terror
mm-hmm.
that I was conditioned to be afraid of that.
Yeah.
And I still am.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I doubt that we'll ever get completely over
yeah,
it either.
No.
You know, I think, you know, it's just like, you know, growing up black in this country and dealing with racism, or growing up Jewish and dealing with anti-Semitism, and, you know, growing up knowing that, you know, 50 years ago the Nazis were killing
right.
millions of Jews, and yeah, you grow up with these things, and everyone is walking around scared, afraid of being, you know, lashed out against, and, you know, afraid of being killed or discriminated against
right.
or whatever, and everyone's walking around with this deep fear, this fear that somebody's going to hurt them.
That's right.
And
well, see, I'll tell
hurt
you.
Them for whatever reason, whether it's because we're... I mean, even if you're white, you're afraid that, you know, somebody's going to hurt you because they don't like white people. Or
yeah.
You know.
In certain areas, that's true. Certainly that's true around here.
Yeah.
But I have that terror because, you know, I've learned later that my father, you know, drank himself to death because a lot of it was from that homosexual side of him.
How did you find that out?
I found that out through some relatives.
Through this uncle or this cousin of yours?
George, yeah.
Oh.
And through my grandmother, who talked to my father's psychiatrist.
Mm-hmm.
So that is one thing. All the loneliness and fear I felt myself, and then all the whole AIDS thing later.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean...
Is your cousin George gay?
No.
Okay.
Not that I know. Who knows? I mean, he may have... I've always wondered if he had some feelings. I don't know.
Did you used to feel close to him?
Not ever, really.
Really?
Know, no. Not personally. He's
but he
good,
did talk to you about your father.
Yeah. I mean, in some ways I felt close, but I never felt comfortable.
Yeah, yeah.
He's not very emotional. He's more, you know, competitive.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's just the way he is.
I felt so much anger at him lately. I just felt abandoned by him when he never called me in New York.
Mm-hmm. Did you try calling him?
I wrote to him.
Mm-hmm.
And he wrote me this super short, like two-sentence letter, said he was too busy to get in touch right now or something. Dictated to his secretary.
Oh, God. Lord.
I know. Can you believe it? I mean, if you're dictating something, can't you dictate, like, you know, 10 sentences? Two? Does it take that long to say, good luck in New York?
Good luck in the Big Apple.
God. it's like I just moved to New York City.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to blow anybody's mind.
Right.
So, how's your relationship with your family?
Good, good.
Had pretty good relationship with you.
Yeah, I don't feel real close to my siblings right now. You know, it's interesting. I sort of have gone in and out of different levels of feeling close with them.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't feel real close to any of them. I feel pretty close to my parents. I've really worked on getting together with them and talking. You know, I can talk real well with them one-on-one.
Right.
And we talk about some serious things. And, you know, I think coming out to them about my HIV and about being gay and, you know, has helped that.
Yeah.
You know. And as much as I didn't like how it happened, you know, coming out to them about my addiction has helped too.
Yeah.
And I've ended up having some real intense conversations about, you know, my childhood and their childhoods even, especially
right.
My mom. I believe that my mom was is an incest survivor.
Really?
Yeah. I think she was molested by her own father, and at least, I'm not sure that she was physically molested, but, you know, there was something going on between her and her grandfather, too.
Right.
You know. I think her grandfather was just kind of a exhibitionist or something.
Huh. So she's been struggling with all that. At
yeah, but
level.
See, the weird thing is I don't even, I'm not even sure that she's aware of it.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I mean, she described this incident that happened with her and her father, and I was like, you know, the red lights were flashing all around my head,
right.
And she was like thinking nothing of it.
Right.
And I asked her, have you ever talked to your, I mean, this is a woman who's been in some form of therapy off and on, mostly on, since 1955.
Right.
And
well, that's good right there.
Yeah, but has she ever talked about this
right.
to her therapist?
I see.
No.
Oh, my God.
Can you believe that?
God.
Can you believe it?
Unreal. That's the kind of stuff I'm talking about.
Jesus Christ.
That these things, even with people who think they're self-aware.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, that's what's happening with me. Like, I think I've explored all this therapy, all this stuff over all these years, men's groups, et cetera.
Right.
Still, I'm coming to these
earth-shaking. And I think the truth is you always will.
Yeah.
That's just life.
It's like the next layer in the onion, you know.
Yeah. I hate that onion analogy. I want to tell people, just leave the onion alone. When you peel away all the layers, there's nothing left. And the onion's dead. Leave it alone.
Then you're saying, don't look deeper.
Well, I just hate that onion analogy. I think that, you know, there is a certain amount of protection
that you need.
That you need,
right.
And you need skin, and you need.
That's a good point.
You know.
No, that's a good point.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't peel away all your layers.
Yeah. I think it's good to look at things, but I guess. But I don't know. Sometimes I wonder because it just seems like a racket to me for therapy.
Yeah. You know, let me ask you about one thing. Do you know Nirvana?
Do I know Nirvana?
The group.
Oh, have I been to Nirvana?
Are you in Nirvana?
I've heard of them. I'm not sure that I'm... I've probably heard some of their music if they're real popular. But
yeah, well,
not real familiar with them.
Let me tell you, this really stirred me up because it was a band I kind of was interested in,
mm-hmm.
And it was just a younger band, you know. I mean, and anyway, the lead singer committed suicide.
Mm.
This is such an incredible story for me.
What was his name?